You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca, home of New York's craft cider. I love New York. Plan your getaway at visitithaca.com.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Hello and welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Darren Bresnitz. I am so excited to be sitting down with the host, co-creators, co-producers of Big Appetite, premiering on Taste Made August 2nd. Check your local listings wherever Taste Made is available. I was lucky enough to be a part of the team to bring the show to life and to be on the road with these guys, along with our great crew, Mary, Chris, Tiffany, Kelly, everyone who helped bring this thing together. It's one of the best shows I've ever been a part of. And we chat with Ben and Jan and Miles, also Family Style Fest, which is coming to LA October 9th. We talk about the origins of the show, the intersection of food and design, how we picked our restaurants, and what we got to eat while we were on the road. It's such a fun conversation and very, very, very special to me. Then we go deep. I'm talking deep into the archives to hear one of our favorite performances, perfect for the summertime, from Harmar Superstar. It's perfect for you to put you in the right electric mood. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy Snacky Tunes here on Heritage Radio Network.
Me to the test, girl. I'm under arrest. No, we won't sleep till the streets are clean and the levee broke. Now we got fire before smoke somehow. The results are in. Negatives are positive, 'cause I'm a prisoner of love. When it rains, it pours. Oh, when I toughen up now, you'll take me back in your arms. Behind bars, no more living large, girl. We're flirting with danger, dancing with strangers. Now it's just you and me, girl. Inmate number 715203. Yeah, you will be my captor. Sunshine, my big time, my laughter. 'Cause I'm a prisoner of love. When it rains, it pours. Oh, when I toughen up now, you'll take me back in your arms. Prisoner, yeah, I'm a prisoner of love. It's pouring so hard. Yeah, we're not coming out now. No. Talk ain't always cheap now. I made a promise that I'm gonna keep somehow. Show you what I'm made of. A little prisoner, no prisoner, yeah, prisoner. Prisoner of love, whoa, whoa. When it rains, it pours. Yeah, when I roughing up now. Won't you take me back in your arms, prisoner of love, just a little prisoner of love. Oh, yeah, we're not toughing up now. Won't you take me back in your arms?
Ben, Miles, Jan, welcome to Snacky Tunes. Thank you so much for taking time. I know we're just, well, this will run on Sunday, but we are officially 1 week out from the launch of your first show, Big Appetite, on Taste Made, August 2nd. How you guys feel about everything?
What's up, Darren? Thanks for having us. I feel great. I think it looks amazing so far. So we're excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, I totally am excited too. It's a trip that we're a week out. This is a project, you know, we started earlier in the year, and to finally see it, we're here at the finish line. It's I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my team. I was proud to be working with you and working with Taste Made. Like I'm excited for this thing to come out. So
it's amazing. It's so great. And you know, I feel like the idea or the show's impetus really started a couple of years back. You know, Ben, we had you on for the first Family Style Fest, and you guys really coalesced this idea of food, culture, and design. How have you seen that evolve since the launch of the festival a few years ago?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that now restaurants are including merch and some kind of merch program into their business. And I, you know, like a great example of that is this, just this past weekend, I was in Brooklyn and was sitting down eating at Bonnie's, and Calvin, who's the chef owner, walked up, said hi. He was wearing a Bonnie's hat. And as he walked away, me and my friends were sitting down eating with, like, we all looked at each other and were like, I want that hat. And we all left the restaurant buying that hat. And I believe that, you know, I was saying this years ago, and I continue to preach it, that restaurant merch is the new band merch. And people want to be wearing their favorite restaurant merch. And I think that it can be it's a supplement to food sales. You know, it's just an add-on. And I think it's something really simple, that restaurants can be doing, should be doing. And, you know, if you have a following, and you put out some quality design product, like, people are going to buy it, and they want to support your restaurant. And like, it's the best marketing for a restaurant as well. So I see more and more of that. I have seen more and more of that over the last few years. And I'm not going to sit here and say like, I'm the one, or, you know, Family Style is the reason for that. But I hope that we are a factor in that.
I agree. Like, I think that in the past few years, we definitely didn't start this. You know, restaurants have been making merch for some time, and people have been doing collabs. But I think that, you know, what Family Style has been able to do is, you know, I guess sort of elevate it or make it more fun. Like, I think that we just, you know, opened the floodgates to, you know, people looking at their business, restaurants looking at their business a little differently. Like, I also have been seeing, you know, there's so much amazing creativity in the culinary space right now, and from the beginning, it's very reminiscent of early streetwear. It's like really independent and really pop up, and I can do this, and there's no boundaries, there's no walls between what genre I'm in, and as a result of that, you see amazing product being dropped, you see books and really good design and pop, you know, like it's just really fun since we've emerged, and so I'd like to think that we play a big role in that, but you know, it's just the times that we're in are really just out of the box right now, and so it's fun to participate in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys had the festival, and then we had the pandemic, and the merch was such a big lifeline, and a way for people to support and connect with restaurants, that it's taken on even more importance in the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not, you know, like ultimately it like Ben and I go back and forth about this a lot. Like are these restaurants going to make a ton of money on the merch that we drop? Like, no, but maybe. And also it's a way for other people to experience this brand, you know, like a restaurant as a brand, as a brand that has really good food, but then also really cool hats, you know, like Uncle Paulie's and you know, Bonnie's and restaurants like that. So like it can be, absolutely. At the end of the day, you know, it all is about the food and how, you know, what how you can get to people's taste buds. But I think so. I think, you know, you're onto something there.
It's also like a cool indicator on finding like-minded people, like the same way that when you were, you know, growing up and you saw somebody wearing a band t-shirt that you liked, or like a skate t-shirt that you liked, like somebody got it, you know, and you knew that. And when you see somebody wearing a piece of merch from a restaurant that you know and love, you're like, oh, you like, I get you. I know where you're coming from, and I'm probably going to have a good conversation with you, which is for me pretty rare to find now with like identifying people's styles and stuff like that.
100% I agree with Jan. Like, if I'm walking down the street and I'm wearing a Courage Bagels hat, someone's going to stop me and say something about it. Or if I'm wearing a John and Vinny's t-shirt, someone's going to stop and say something to me about it. Whether I'm in LA, whether I'm in New York, whether I'm traveling anywhere, I absolutely agree with Jan that, you know, it's a very, it reminds me of early streetwear and early the hundreds when, you know, the first few years, if you saw someone wearing a hundreds t-shirt, it's like they knew, you know, and so you could, you know, that you could have that conversation with them and you could chat with them and like they're like-minded. So I totally agree with Jan.
I absolutely agree. If I see someone wearing a certain restaurant hat or shirt, I'm like, all right, I know we can chat. So it's one thing to have the festival. It's one thing to be in this world of food and design. It's a whole other thing to start to turn it into a TV show. When did the idea start to come between you guys that this could be something that could be on the air, something that could coalesce into a series?
Yeah. I can talk on that. Like, it's when Family Style, when we started Family Style, like I always envisioned it to be more than a festival. You know, like we had a very, you know, the goal was straightforward. We need to produce like a really fun party, like that. That's what it was. But after we did the first one, like it was such an amazing turnout. I mean, like what we were able to pull off, and Ben and Bobby and the whole team, like at first at bat, you know, it was incredible. And that's when I thought, like, really, like, oh, this actually might, like, we can do this. You know, there is a groundwork that's been laid where, you know, a lot of people from different walks of life, you know, food is a little bit less niche than, you know, streetwear. Like, food is more universal. Like, I think we can do this. And you know, a TV show has always just been a huge goal. Like I, just from growing up watching food shows and, you know, Bourdain and even Andrew Zimmern with my dad, like, you know, like the old, like, food shows have always been, a driving force in entertainment for me, you know, personally. And then, you know, what we, in the beginning of the festival, we did these like restaurant highlights where we had Ben go and like Ben would do these interviews. And I guess Ben can speak on this too, but like, you know, before Bobby did a lot of Bobby was the face of the hundreds and Ben did a lot more of the business stuff on the back end. But with Family Style, you know, this really is like, you know, Ben's the face of this. And so it was an interesting dynamic of like, all right, Ben, like, can you go on camera and do this? And there was like a little hesitancy, but he was down and he kind of killed it. Like he was like really good on camera. Like, from the beginning, and this was just like in the middle of his day, like we'd be like, all right, like Ben has hundreds of meetings and this and that, and then at 1 p.m can you go to Bert back, like do an interview with Bert, and then you come back to that. It's like it was just like in the middle of his day, but he was able to turn it on really quickly, and he was good, and I felt very compelling, and then it just kind of just started building from there of like, oh, we have this cool brand, like Ben is kind of like, you know, I think he's really good at this. And then from there, it was just like, how do we do this? And, you know, obviously continuing to grow Family Style led to that, but, But that was, it was always kind of early on, like Family Style is going to be more than a festival. You know, how it got here was a whole another story.
Yeah, I mean, what did you ultimately want the show to represent? Because there's a lot of travelogues out there. There's a lot of people who go around and eating. What story did you want to tell from this show that you didn't feel that was out there already?
Well, I mean, that was always my that's what I challenged Miles with when he came to me with this idea of the show. And I was like, look, I'm down, but I was, how are we going to make it different? And you know, we went through a few iterations. You know, we worked with you on it also to try to nail down what we wanted. And it ultimately came down to, you know, there's not a show out there that really gets behind, you know, the design, the food, the story, and how all of those tie together and give you a restaurant. And when we started and this was the idea. I mean, I still think it's a great idea. I think that, you know, not every restaurant does it, but the ones that do and do it well, they're really special. And they really do tell a story. And I think that's really important in restaurants, especially post-pandemic. I think people do want a story. They do want an experience, and they're looking for more than just, you know, good quality food. Like I think good quality food and good tasting food is expected, but what more can you offer a restaurant, someone that's coming to eat at your restaurant? And so, you know, the places we shot at really do tell a good story. They have a good concept behind them, and they do a great job of tying together the story and the inspiration behind a restaurant with their food, and put in front of you this, you know, great experience of a restaurant.
Yeah, and I think if the question is what do we want the show to represent, it, you know, like to add on to what Ben is saying, ultimately we want the show to represent the people behind the restaurant, like those stories, and highlight their journey and their vision. So it's not just about the recipe. It's not just about how to make this, you know, dish. It's really about them. We wanted to represent them.
I think when we were putting the criteria for restaurants that we were going to feature, you know, you're like, oh, I know a great place with great food, and I know a place with great design, but finding restaurants and you know, I know people who are behind great food or great design, but finding those places that represented sort of all three was much tougher than we originally thought.
I thought it was very difficult. I shot down how many restaurants, right? Like I think I really believe that that is a hard thing to pull off. And the ones that pull it off really do a good job, because there are a ton of restaurants that give you great food. There are a ton of restaurants that might give you great design, but there are not as many restaurants that give you great design, great build out, great food, great energy, and then tie literally everything all together and give you this great concept.
Yeah. And we'd be remiss to not also shout out Mary Agnes, the director who also kept pushing for the best story, the best food, the best location, and challenging what makes a good package and what makes a good location.
Mary, the real boss of this project.
The real boss of this project. But it's interesting, because you walk into a lot of places that are maybe now designed for Instagram in one way or another, and then you get in there and you're like, this isn't hitting the way that I need it to.
No. And I just ate at a place like that last week here in LA that I thought looked cool, and you know, I thought maybe the food would be good, and I went there and like the place was made for Instagram. It was just really pretty, and it'd be fun if a group of girls was going there to take photos, and maybe the food is just good enough. Like, and like the maitre d' asked me what I thought, and I don't think he was expecting to hear the answer I gave him, because I was very honest with him.
Well, let's just say that you were very positive and very happy with all the 15 spots we swung by for season one. So,
oh, absolutely. Everywhere we shot out in season everywhere that we shot at in season one, I would eat at again. And I'll recommend, like, there's all of them are great. And I'm very proud of all the restaurants and all the people we worked with in season one of Big Appetite.
Yeah. And just to stay on this subject a little more, like we Family Style is known for curating our lineups, and, you know, Ben does an incredible job with that, and the team does. But this was very different. You know, this is very different. There were so many, it was a very specific criteria. And so, you know, we just have to really shout out the team that was involved, and Darren, you were heavily involved as an EP, you know, as the EP on the show, but also just kind of generally, like, interested in what we're trying to build. Like all of us kind of got together. Jan, you know, did an incredible job producing, Kelly Wong from our team as well. Like
Chris Lowe shooting the hell out of that show.
Man, I love that. Dude. I love Chris, man. He really is a special guy.
Yeah. We were on the show yesterday, and literally yesterday, Ben, last night, Jan and I were in the office, and we were just watching the show, and we were comparing it with other food shows, just because, like, you know, it comes out next week, so, like, we're in our heads about this all the time, and it just looks really, really good. Like, it looks amazing.
It looks really good.
Yeah, shout out to the whole team. Like seriously, like, it's great curation. The restaurants came about that way.
Amazing. Well, listen, Let's take a quick break, and we come back, I want to talk about some of the people that we met on the road, some of the restaurants that we featured, and what viewers can expect from this show. We have a song from the archives here on Heritage Radio Network.
Darling, I was your safety home. There was no better call to make. I could have been, but you always want what you cannot have. You push me away just to beg for me back. No, 'cause you always want what you cannot have. You push me away just to beg for me back. And darling, I'm here for you. I could be here for you. We could be more than friends. There could be more to this.
Hello and welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We are here with Ben, Miles, and Jan of Big Appetite, coming out August 2nd. on Taste Made. And in season one, we met a lot of great people and we went to a lot of great restaurants. And while we did our research, sometimes you don't really understand a restaurant or understand how special something is until you walk through the doors. What were some of the biggest surprises from the stories, the most exciting moments at the places you ate in season one?
A few of them. I mean, I aunts and uncles in Brooklyn. I was blown away by what they do there. I think is so special. It's a great community neighborhood restaurant. The concept behind it is great. Great job designing it. What they're serving. Why they're serving. Everything ties together so well. It's a vegan restaurant, plant-based restaurant, and I'm not shy about it. I don't prefer to eat like that, and most of the time I think that it's not great food. But the food was absolutely delicious. The people behind it were delicious. Their concept behind it, I thought, was so thoughtful, and the way they put everything together and why that restaurant exists. I think it's a really important restaurant. In Flatbush, and it's great for the neighborhood, and I was really, really impressed with aunts and uncles. Another one that I was really surprised by was Wusong Road.
So good
in Boston.
I was eating them up. Yeah,
they're great. What they do is great. How they do it is great. The build out behind that place is so cool. That tiki bar upstairs is so cool. All those tiki cups. That Peking duck is great. His whole story, his family restaurant, all of
unreal.
That. I was very pleasantly surprised by that place.
Think about that Peking duck. I still think about it.
Yeah. I totally would. I would love to eat there again. And then if I had to pick a third one that I was very pleasantly surprised by was Chifa.
Wow, nice.
I didn't know what to expect from Chifa. I didn't know what I was walking into. I knew that it was Umberto's family restaurant, but I didn't know much else about it. They really did a great job building that place out. There was so much thought behind it. I thought it was so cool. And then just talking to his mom and his family and how it really is a family ran business, and the food they're serving, I think is really top quality. It's so thoughtful, and everything behind it. I'm a fan of Chifa too. So those are three surprises for me.
Chifa is really the perfect example of what this show is all about, where it's thoughtful food. It wound up being a lot of family stories, which I think surprised me of how many of these were generational stories reinterpreted in a new type of restaurant. And just people who just thought about every detail, thought about everything, the experience, the beginning to end. It's tough not to leave, at least watching the episodes, and especially because we got to meet so many people, but leaving the show inspired. What inspired all of you about the people you met and the design you saw and the food you had?
Oh, man, that's a hard one, because everybody brought so much of themselves to the table. And I know that's a pretty generic, kind of corny answer for it. But sitting down with people and hearing the story of how they got to where they are and why what they're doing is important, and realizing that, that people are always doing what they love, but to see them be able to articulate that in a way that they don't usually get the platform to do was something that was really cool for me to see about this show, Because lots of times when people come in to talk about a restaurant, they just talk about how good the food is and all of that, and you don't really get the story behind all of it. And especially aunts and uncles or something like that, Ben brought them up earlier, they have a great little reminder on the menu. And even when we were between takes setting stuff up, we were hanging out in the front of the shop, and everybody that was walking by was saying what's up to them. It just felt like a cornerstone of the neighborhood. And so much of that was felt through all of the other restaurants that we went to. And that was just cool for me to see.
Yeah, I agree with Jan. I think that what was inspiring were these stories, and you know, we just had this unique opportunity to travel, you know, across the country and visit small businesses, and I think that's what's special is, like, you know, for example, in our Boston episode, we went to Bronwyn, who he's an incredible chef, and you know, this entire restaurant was essentially a love letter to his wife, and you know, made from his hands. You know, he built that insane door, and he built that bar that Ben and Johnny and Nina were sitting on, and you know, so it was like that I felt, I left feeling like, wow, like you can really put your all, you can really put your heart into what you do. You know, it doesn't have to just be work, you know, like there can be passion and love behind it. I agree with Jan, and that one specifically stood out as like a moment that was really, really cool to watch and hear about.
Shout out to Brahman's mustard, 'cause that was spicy.
That was, oh yeah. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the current dining scene. It's ups and it's downs and things like that. What did you think about, because this show went across America, about the current dining scene, the current state of it, sort of through the lens of this show?
Well, I think coming out of the pandemic that people are looking for an experience and want to be told a story. And they're looking for, when they're going to a restaurant, to really, it's like a night out for them, for it to be part of a night out for them. And, you know, I'm starting to see more and more restaurants are building out like a, you know, they're putting more thought behind the build out of their restaurant. And maybe they're putting better speakers in so the music sounds better. Or they're putting in like a little bit nicer tables and chairs, or nicer like plateware and you know, silverware. And, you know, maybe they're putting more thought behind like even something as small as like the napkins or making matches, like just small things that really, when you put it all together, all add up and can really make the difference in the experience of a restaurant. And I'm starting to see it a little bit more and more. And I think that our show does a great example of showcasing that. And how restaurants really are, it's not just like come sit down, eat and leave. Like, no, like this is an experience. There's a concept here. There's a reason why, you know, the restaurant are these colors, or the art is here, or why the tables are like this, or, you know, why the chandeliers are like this. And you know, I'm proud to be the one that gets to talk to a lot of these restaurants and bring that to an audience that might not even think to look up or look at the lights or look at the table, yeah, or look at the plates, and you know, and or think about like why, you know, this chef is cooking this dish, or where the inspiration came from this dish, you know. And so I think that people are looking more and more towards that.
Yeah. And is that what you want viewers to take away from this show, being just showing them like there is so much thought and detail that goes into a whole experience from the people who are actively putting these types of restaurants out into the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the number one goal, was to show people like it's more than just cooking food, which in itself is really fucking hard to do.
Yes.
Right? Like putting out great food and food that people are going to want to continue to come back and eat is very difficult on its own. But then to add on top of that, you know, the how, the why, the, you know, and building a restaurant and building a brand and building a build out, like a you know, designing a restaurant that really speaks to people, that's like another layer that's even just so much harder. So, you know, I really tip my cap to a lot of the restaurants that out there doing it, and especially to the ones we covered on our show.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is the takeaway that we want out of it. You know, like if we're able to paint a restaurant in a different light as an overall establishment as an overall brand. Like some of the reasons why I have such, me personally, I have an affinity with brands that I'm just fans of is because I know a bit more about them. You know, even the Hundreds, you know, like why people love the Hundreds so much is because they're so, the doors are so open into Ben's story and Bobby's story. And I think that the more you peel back the curtains, the more you're able to connect with your customers on a personal level. I think that ultimately it adds longevity to what restaurants are doing. And I think that kind of is where the current state of the industry is right now too. There's you know, like to touch on what Ben was saying, there's so many options, but it is really cool to see, restaurants place an emphasis on other aspects outside of getting the food perfect, which of course, again, is still the number one part of it. It's still the thing that will ultimately make or break a restaurant. But you know, seeing the emphasis on other aspects of the business is really cool to watch. And we hope that this show, people pay more attention to things like that, because when you do, you're going to be treated to an amazing story.
I love it. Now, look, I would be remiss if I didn't have the three of you here, because you recently announced October 9th, Family Style Fest, the third iteration. Any teases? What can people expect? What obviously, I don't think we're going to get any exclusives, but what can people look forward to for the festival this year?
October 9th, baby. We're back.
I mean, honestly, Darren, like, our goal with the festival is always to be better than the last one. And, you know, I think we're bringing restaurants that some people are going to be really excited about and don't really do food festivals the same way it was the past 2 years. We're working with, some great designers and artists. I think the experience, like Miles and Jan and the team, are just that much better this year than last year at creating an experience here at the festival. And, you know, I really believe that Family Style Food Festival is one of the best days of the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're in Los Angeles that day, you should consider yourself lucky, because it's really a special day and you should be coming to Family Style. Like, it's a lot of fun. There's great food. It's great music. It's a good day for you. If you have young kids, you bring your kids out to it. You're going to see a lot of cool people hanging out. You're going to learn about a different restaurant. You're going to maybe buy some merch from your favorite brand or your favorite restaurant. And you're going to hang out with friends. And it's really a great day. Like, there's
so fun.
Yeah, it really is so much fun. Like,
last year was so good. Ben puts that pressure on us, but I feel like we're up to it. You know, last year was so good, and yeah, like, that's our goal. Like, each one, without dropping, I mean, we're gonna be doing the lineup announcement very soon, but without dropping names, like it's you know, I'm always surprised at who Ben is able to you know, get do the show, and it's you know, I love putting out the lineup because it's a special moment. But more than anything, like, people have such a good time. I can't tell you, I'm not even lying. Like, people will come up to me on the street, random people, and just say that, you know, Family Style is the best day that they've ever had. Like any festival, any whatever, like, it's, and that's such a good compliment, because it's a small, you know, for in the scheme of things, in the space, in the experiential space, we're a smaller event. But I think we place such a big emphasis on the experience, and I have to, you know, shout out the team again for that, because we're a small team, but Jan as a producer on everything does such an incredible job with rounding up, you know, what activations we need to, and Kelly also on our team does such a good job communicating with everyone. Like, it's a team effort. It's a small team, but we're able, you know, we're excited that we deliver a very fun day for the city.
Amazing. Well, listen, guys, congratulations. I know the show is awesome. It is a very different type of travelogue, very stylized, very cool. And honestly, it's just a great eating guide to to when you're in the city. This is a couple of, I don't want to spoil everything because I want people to tune in, but there's fun little Easter eggs and little moments. So thank you guys for making a great show. It was so much fun to work with you. And for everyone who's listening, August 2nd, Taste Made, tune in. It's going to be a great time.
Thank you, Darren.
We have a song from the archives and then a live musical performance here on Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network.
I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler, Executive Director of HRN. HRN is dedicated to amplifying voices from all across our food system. Today, I'm asking listeners to take part in our summer membership drive by helping sustain our mission to expand the way eaters think about food. As a thank you for this tax-deductible donation, you can receive some great HRN swag, including the HRN cap, wine carrier, or a special spice set from Burlap and Barrel. By becoming a member, you'll play an essential role in keeping nonprofit food radio on the air. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member today. Thank you for your support.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca, helping you to plan your next getaway. Ithaca has waterfalls and wineries, art and theater, outdoor recreation, and family fun. The area is famous for its glacier-carved gorges, co-op-run businesses, and cultural influences from Cornell University and Ithaca College. Plus, you can't beat the beauty of Cayuga Lake, the largest of the Finger Lakes. Beyond 150 waterfalls and some of the region's best hiking trails, Ithaca is cider. The area is well known for its local cideries, which are leading the way in America's cider revival. You can hear from the region's cider makers directly on HRN series Hardcore. There's something really special about Ithaca's climate for cultivating delicious apples steeped in history and terroir. Let Visit Ithaca help you plan your next trip to this hub of food, drink, culture, and agritourism. Home of New York's craft cider, I love New York. Get started at visitithaca.com.
Hi, Mar Superstar. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks, man.
Really happy that you're here. Really been great seeing your face around town.
Yeah, I'm a real local now.
Yeah, you're like a real local.
Yeah,
like oh, hey, man, what's up?
I was a fake local for years not living here, but everyone thought I lived here, so it was kind of a secret of mine that I was secretly in L.A. just laying on my couch watching TV while everybody was talking about me. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but I really get this. What made the move a reality? What made you become a permalocal?
Well, to be completely frankly honest, I walked away from my house that I owned. And I just stopped paying, and I left. And I was like, it's time to change. I'm going to New York. The American dream.
Yeah.
Living the American dream.
Just leave it all behind.
Yeah.
Did you even lock the door when you left?
To the new country. I did, because I was going to squat there for a while, because I thought that would be a hilarious option, a chapter in my life that would be... good to
this is
about.
The other side of when you live on your passion, you just got to walk away from some things sometime.
But I was kind of like feeling creatively stagnant in L.A. after a while. Just the good weather constantly kind of actually grates on you after a while. For me, I like seasons, you know what I mean?
So. I would say that the most productive time is like when it's winter. You're hunkered down. I mean,
I'll write like 3 albums in the winter and like 3 scripts and then like live off of that for the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just get it done and like cave out and have a good time.
I mean, I have friends that have left L.A. and moved here, and then they'll go out to L.A. and like... December for work, and they'll be like, I got nothing done. Like, it was just nice enough that I just went out
The time. No, that's kind of how I felt, you know? And you're kind of just waiting for people to get off work at that point. When you're not working, it's kind of maddening. You know?
So, you're out here.
Yes.
Which neighborhood did you just move to?
I live in Williamsburg.
Oh, welcome.
Graham Stop.
Yeah. Oh, we're all kind of right in the hood. And you just finished a record, right?
Yeah, well, I'm just putting the finishing touches on it now. I just signed with... Cult Records, which is Julian Casablancas's new label, and he's going to finish the record with me. We're just doing a little bit more production on it. But
what's the process going to be finishing it? How's he stepping in?
Well, he's got amazing vocal sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, we're going to go in and redo the main vocals, just with some like little melody ideas, little tweaks here and there, and then edit the songs a little bit and maybe do another one or two. But yeah.
And how did you record the record this time around?
I went to Austin, Texas, and I recorded with Jim Eno from Spoon, the drummer, at his place. It's a great studio there.
I mean, you've been at this for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. I mean, I was saying, like, Power Lunch was like when I was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that's like my third band that I toured. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Armar's like my third.
Shout out the first two.
Well, there's a band called Calvin Crime that was on AMREP when I was like 16 or 17.
Okay.
And we toured a lot. And then I have a band called Sha Na Na that I kind of periodically still do.
I feel like that's still, like, that's always, like, right on the edge.
Yeah.
Like it comes back in, cuts across Harmar, and, like, kind of goes out of focus, and then
it's kind
weaves
of fun.
Back in.
It's be like, you know, whatever I feel like.
But Harmar is by and far the, you know, most prominent.
He's my breadwinner. He brings home the bacon.
Harmar, come on. Get out there. Go earn a little for daddy. Go take your pants off at a nightclub.
Yeah, exactly. People love it.
Well, let's get a song.
Okay.
Let's give a little reference.
All right, you want to hear a new one?
Yeah, let's hear a new one.
All right, this one's called Prisoner of Love.
Live on Snacky Tunes.
To the test, girl, I'm under arrest. No, we won't sleep till the streets are clean and the levee broke now. We got fire before smoke somehow. The results are in. Negatives are positive, 'cause I'm a prisoner of love. means it more. Oh, when I toughen up now, you'll take me back in your arms. Me behind bars, no more living large, girl. We're flirting with danger, whoa. Dancing with strangers. Now it's just you and me, girl. Inmate number 715203. Yeah, you will be my captor. Sunshine, my big time, my laughter. 'Cause I'm a prisoner of love. When it rains, it pours. Oh, when I toughen up now, you'll take me back in your arms. Prisoner, yeah, I'm a prisoner of love. It's raining, it's pouring so hard. Yeah, we're not coming out now. No. Talk ain't always cheap now. I made a promise that I'm gonna keep somehow. Show you what I'm made of. A little prisoner, no prisoner, yeah, prisoner. Prisoner of love, whoa, whoa. When it rains, it pours. Yeah, when I toughen up now, won't you take me back in your arms? Prisoner of love, just a little prisoner of love.
Where'd they come from? Oh, I see them.
Oh, yeah. It's the Roberta's guys.
The Roberta's staff.
Roberta's staff, what's up, guys? Is that MC Todd out there? Yeah.
Yeah, it's all happening.
MC Todd.
Everyone's gathering.
Check the internet for that new release on MC Todd.
Apology, I bet you didn't think I sounded like that.
Yeah, what did you think?
The word that came to mind is juxtaposition. I'm like, I did not expect to hear that.
Your eyes kind of lit up.
I said, we can have a two-hour discussion about music as soon as this is over. That's what I thought.
So your vocals have been lent to other projects. I feel like very lucky I got to see you tour with Gangs.
Oh, yeah, man.
Which was like
at the
Natural History Museum in L.A.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. I love that record.
Oh man, it's
the best. I put it on last night, and it was just like, fuck, this is one of the best records.
It is love making music. Everything's 69 BPMs.
Yeah, just talk to me about that project, because I've never got a chance to really sit down and
It's sort of like the brainchild of Ryan Olson, who produced like the Polisa album and a bunch of other great
stuff
out of Minneapolis. Yeah,
incredible.
Chani, the singer, is actually in Gangs too. So he kind of put together the soft rock thing with a couple of the guys from Solid Gold in Minneapolis, and I think... And with the idea of getting Justin Vernon from Bon Iver involved, and sort of just became this behemoth, like, 25-member band. And it was really only supposed to be a project where they were going to put out the album, play one show with everybody there, and then break up. And it sort of took off so much that a tour happened, and then more tours. We did the whole country. I mean, we never really went out overseas, even though we're supposed to. But that's just because of... Ryan's like philosophies of like wanting to like take a cruise ship there, you know what I mean? Right. He made these ridiculous demands that were great but didn't happen.
Yeah. Like, we'll buy you plane tickets, cruise ship.
Yeah. How about a cruise ship?
Tugboat.
Yeah. We want to make this as weird and hard for you as possible.
But what was touring like that? I mean, there really were like 25.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
for the touring. band, it kind of was pared down to like 10 or 12 people most of the time. But like, there's always like two bass players and like 90 guitar players and saxes going. I mean, it's a very sax heavy band.
Yeah. And how do you feel like that fits into like the overall like Harmar story or like projects like that?
It's cool. I mean, it was just like, it was perfect timing for me because like I was in between records of my own and it just sort of came up and I recorded this George Michael cover with them. Then one more try. It's like a bonus track that's out and we did it even slower than the original. So it's like 6 minutes long or something.
For anyone that wants to also hear it, the NPR music app has like a live Gangs concert on it. And like that was like kind of like, you know, scroll back.
Yeah,
really, sweet. Really amazing.
Well, thanks.
So you moved here and you've started doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because I think it's like such an easy way for to have an output without having to put out music.
Yeah, but I was kind of curious. Yeah, like, it comes out every week. It's called Nocturnal Emotions. It's on Earwolf.
What is Earwolf?
Earwolf is earwolf.com is kind of like a, they're like a podcast sort of label, you know, like they do Comedy Bang Bang and Who Charted and just so many shows.
Is it like all puns?
No. But, you know, it is a lot of comedy guys. Yeah. Like, I think they're working on, like, maybe a Mr. Show one or something. Like, there's some cool stuff in the works. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I don't know.
You can always promise things and you don't have to deliver. It's who's going to check you?
I can't even deliver this promise. Yeah. I'm just talking out my ass here.
Obama's doing one.
Yeah, we got, you know, yeah, it's a Royal Rumble. Hulk Hogan's in there.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, it's really fun. Like, you know, it's just, they're long conversations about embarrassing moments in like my guests' lives. And it's sort of like, I run the gamut of guests of sort of anybody interesting, you know.
Who've, past guests been?
I've had Macaulay Culkin, Ellen Page, Gavin McInnes, John Daly is going to be on this week. And I feature like some bands. I did like Minus the Bear and My Jerusalem last week, interviews with them. You know, MNDR, whoever.
You know.
Whoever's around.
To fill that downtime.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, I should start a podcast.
Yeah, or something. But, like, really, it's not that much work. You talk to somebody for, like, 45 minutes, tape it, and then make an intro and an outro each week. You know, it's like, it's kind of about a few hours of work a week, and it's very rewarding.
Do you have, besides embarrassing stories, like, is there, you know, something you try to convey from, you have a wide range of guests, you know?
Yeah.
Is there something you tried, like an overarching theme, or is it more just a conversation between two people?
It's a conversation. I mean, it normally gets kind of weird, and you know what I mean? Like, it's me, so it gets, like, a bit stony, you know what I mean? Or something. Yeah. Like, we like to go on tangents and riff. And no, but, like, that's just sort of a jump-off point, but I like to kind of explore the darker sides of people's lives, too, because that's, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the real stuff, and it's really interesting, and I don't know, the whole vibe of the thing is very nighttime.
I mean, that's the thing that we were saying before. It's like, yeah, everyone can be like, yeah, we like put out our demo and we got the record deal. It's like, you know, I just showed up to Hollywood and I got my first gig. It's like, what happened? It's like, well, there were 2 years of drug addiction and
I slept in a van for 3 years and ate cornflakes without milk.
Yeah, it's like, is that what you wanted? Oh, okay, that's the real thing. I mean, it's like we were saying before, it's to know those stories is, you know, to know that everyone goes through it, and like, kind of like, even when you're going through the shit, to know that other people are experiencing it makes it easier.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
No, you want to share a low?
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I think like every 3 years, like the money just runs out, and that's like not even really a low. I mean, it's kind of like, that's when I get motivated. I need it. I need to run out of my money so that I have like some sort of like survivalist instinct to like output like a script or like an album. And that's like where the actual songs come from, you know what I mean? Because if I was just happy and content all the time, I don't think I'd feel driven to make anything.
Do you want to play a song that came from a low?
Yeah, this one's real obvious. This is another new one called Why Why Why. Let me all right, you ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Woe is me, I missed another opportunity. You see another day gone, I'm another day older. Earth beneath my feet only grows colder. I need to take a trip to the Golden Gate Bridge, contemplate my life and all the things I miss. Let loose my feet as my feet slip away. Whoa, die of shock before my legs break. Is
I don't deserve another breath in me, you see. I squandered things, the lessons of lovers. Somebody have some mercy, help me put myself under. I was learning to tie knots down at Fisherman's Wharf. When the boys got the call, they had to go to war. They left me hanging how to tie this noose. Oh, it's just a little too loose. Yeah, I'd cut myself, but I'd never bleed. Just another failure got me in long sleep. To hide the pain building up in me. Another secret that I need to keep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 oh. Wah, 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 oh, 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 oh. Wah, 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 oh. Wah, 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 woe is me. I missed another opportunity, you see. Another day gone, it's another day older. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
This one's about not being a crybaby.
Polly, comments?
I'm just blown away.
Well, thanks.
We have to get you on my playlist.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'll bring in some stuff. I'll trade you for some pizza.
There you go. Oh,
there it is.
That's how it goes.
That's
down.
How you get out of the lows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
Speaking of food, what's on the diet these days? What are you eating?
You know,
what have you found in Williamsburg that is like
You know what the best is Mesa Kaiwakan, that Mexican place. It's really good. Like super like LA level like Mexican food.
Where is it?
It's right on Graham Avenue, like right in between Consulier and Skillman.
Oh, that place.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's next to
Saldemar,
and that place is great too.
That place is great.
Yeah. There's so much stuff over there. I don't know. I love eating at the Commodore too. It's that the hot breast and the nachos.
I mean, the Commodore. I mean, I think they're like one of the few restaurants that got like one like bar food that got one star.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Have you eaten there, the Commodore?
The best fried chicken.
It's right here.
Yeah, it's right across the street from St. Assam. And the nachos.
The nachos are like, they're like Austin, Texas, real queso nachos.
I think that's
like,
what we ate on that night out before 4th of July. We started with the nachos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And we did do that. Just fantastic.
They're so good.
They're so good. So what's coming up next? So the record's going to finish. And then
yeah, well, that'll come out in probably March. I don't know. I'm just writing some TV stuff right now and trying to get that going through by the time.
What's the TV stuff?
I'm developing a show. I've been developing a show for HBO for like a few years that wasn't going to get shot, and now it might. Everything's so weird on TV. It's slow. So, I mean whatever happens, whatever we do, it'll come out in like 2 years. So. Not even worth really mentioning, but like...
Promises. Obama will have a guest.
Paid a little bit. Yeah. You know, it's here and there. But yeah, no, just working on the podcast, be playing shows. I'm going to go to Fun Fest like, in a couple weeks. Sweet.
Yeah. Which it really is like one of the most fun
yeah,
festivals.
Yeah, and the lineup's great. Run DMC is playing. Yeah. I'm psyched about that.
Japandroids are playing.
Japandroids. It's just so good. There's so many.
I mean,
X is playing all of Los Angeles, I think, or Wild Gift, one of the two.
Oh, really?
I love both of those albums.
I mean, just, you know, we were talking about it before. You're going to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash tonight, right?
Yes, I am.
What album are they playing?
Their first album, their self-titled album.
I mean, it's just get the fans what they want. But you can play a few new ones.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
I think, like, you know, yeah, do an encore and play, like, five more. But you do the album that people want to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they can leave or the true fans can stay. I will say this, though. I just saw the David Byrne St. Vincent, their new show, and they published a new record, and it's incredible.
I want to see. I mean, they're both so good. I can only imagine
it's,
together.
It's so good. And the choreography, and, I mean, it's just really one of the best shows I've seen, and you're just like, and they weave in their old stuff with the new stuff. And
oh, that's awesome!
They do it really well.
I try to do like, you know, I try to mix it up, do two old ones and a new one, or you know what I mean. Like I feel like throughout the show,
keep
people like perked up from.
But I mean, your music is also like really like I had never heard those two songs.
Yeah,
and, like they're also like upbeat songs,
Yeah,
it's not like hey, here's a new one. It's super slow. It's 6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Please don't go to the bar.
I'm not pulling too many punches. Yeah, I mean, it's vibe wise a little different, but it really does. Yeah, it fits in with the set really
you know,
well.
So. You know what I loved about that song? It sounds so upbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
So down.
That's my favorite. Like I love like Gilbert O'Sullivan. Like Alone Again Naturally is one of my favorite songs, and it's really poppy. But then you listen to the lyrics, and they're like the most.
You're like, oh shit!
Down, this guy's gonna jump off or something. You know what I mean? there's
a great song by the Style Council.
Which one?
I forget the name of the title now. I can't believe it's not coming to me. I just absolutely love it. But it was a very angry song, and it was just so happy.
Yeah.
Another great one is Bluebird by Leon Russell.
Yeah. Harry Nilsson does that a lot too. Like he's kind of the master of that stuff. Those are my dudes.
I want to get one more song in, but I want to give people the nuts and bolts of where to find you, where to get the podcast.
Oh, yeah. You can just go to earwolf.com and look for Nocturnal Emotions with Harmar Superstar, or go to iTunes Music, or go to Podcasts in iTunes and then look under the Music category, and it should be there. You can just look it up on iTunes, I guess, too. So, yeah, you can subscribe. It's free. Get it every week.
Website, Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, or just follow me at Harmar Superstar, you know, sort of thing. I update every week on Twitter where to find it, too.
And almost every day on Instagram as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't say get the Gangs record.
Get
a Harmar record.
Get it, yeah.
And get a Gangs record.
Yeah, definitely.
Find a loved one.
We're working on some sort of like other project spin-off things right now that are happening.
So I would say research the Gangs record because like Pulika's on there. Isn't like what other
marijuana? Guys from Marijuana Death Squads, Megafon, Bon Iver, a lot of that band. There's so many people have played in it. Rosebuds. I mean, there's just like it's just people from all over the country.
You could really get like a good starting point. Anyway, well, thanks for being on.
Oh, yeah, man.
Paulie, thank you, as always.
Yeah, Paulie.
Great pleasure.
You're going to take us up with one more track?
Yeah, I'll do, I'm going to do Tall Boy, the single off my last album. I'm a fire, baby. There's no place to go, so shed your clothes. We'll stop, drop, and roll. I need a tall boy. Crack it open with me, don't be shaken. Come on, let out the steam. Where's my tall boy? Satisfy my needs, feel like drinking. Come on, get inside me. Me and my girls will roll up. You know you wanna check us out. Beats in the backseat blow up. Turn the whole scene. Still talking shit about Monday. The weekend is over now. Not meeting no one halfway. Amateurs, get the hell. I don't see no ashtray, so I'm gonna use the ground. Ladies, last call for hairspray. Back door is open. You all know the party's jumping. Everything is going for free. Gonna grab a piece of something. Take it home. I need a tall boy. Where's my tall boy? Don't think I'm falling in love now. This is nothing but pure lust. Wanna use you up and get out like the kids. I crumble, puppy eyes are broken. I'm not trying to be mean. Queen of the party spoken. Jump on the floor with me. Yeah, the DJ is killing my groove. Just got the text you sent me. Time to make up. Making the group back to my house. Spread it through the VIP. All the pretty people line up the couch. Till we get proud. I need a tall boy. Where's my tall boy? Shed your clothes. We'll stop, drop, and roll. I need a tall boy. Crack it open with me. Don't be shaken.
Come on, let out the steam. Where's my tall blonde? Satisfy my needs, feel like freaking. So come on, get inside. I need a tall boy. Crack it open with me, don't be shaking. Come on, let out the steam. Where's my tall boy? Satisfy my needs, feel like drinking. Come on, get inside me.
We talk about food. We talk about music. With musical dudes. Finger on the pulse. Snacky Tunes.
Snacky Tunes is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.